I'd now ask that you give our brother Jim your careful and prayerful attention.
I don't really intend to keep you here too long this evening. But I do hope that you pay attention to what I have to say, because I'm going to speak a little bit about something that is very necessary in our everyday walk of life. I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about prayer. Webster tells us that prayer is a humble entreaty addressed to God. And I think that most of us here this evening could come close to that definition if we was asked to give a definition. Seems like it's a pretty simple definition. And when we pray, we pray right to the source from where all blessings come. And when we pray for something that is happening right now. We have heard many times of people that have had close calls of accidents, and they didn't have hardly time to pray, but they just said, "God, help me." And he heard, and he answered their prayer. Or it may be something that is or has been bothering us for a long time. There's no set time for prayer, but it should be something that we do often. I'd like to read from Alma 16, page 430. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him in all your fields. Yea, over all your flocks, cry unto him in your houses. Yea, over your, all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry to him against the power of your enemies. Cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over your crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of all of those around you. Now I'd like to go to 238. That you may live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and also I exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you in the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good. Now I know that you have heard these verses several times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. But it's vital that we remember them. Here in chapter 16 of Alma, we read, as we just read, Amulek was telling the Zoramites what to pray for and why. You need that strength from prayers for our daily activities. And of course, what we read right here is not the only thing that we pray for. There are many things in our everyday life that requires our prayers. In the last part of the 222nd verse there, it says, for the welfare of those around you. That's exactly what we did about 2 weeks ago, Wednesday night. We all showed up for a song service. And our pastor said that we needed to remember Amy Moser. So what was supposed to be a song service wound up being a prayer service for the welfare of a sister in need. Not too long ago, one of our young children back there, when they was asking for different ones to remember in prayer, ask that we remember the family dog. If it's important to us to pray about, nothing is too small or nothing too big to present to God for a blessing in prayer. This request for the dog took my mind back many, many years. Some of you may remember it. On a sacrament morning, we had a young sister when it was asked for different ones to needed prayer. And she asked if we would remember her parakeet and pray for it, because that morning she had found it on the bottom of the cage. Well, in the course of our prayers that morning for different brothers and sisters and needs of the church, we prayed for that parakeet. And she told us later in another service that when she got home, her bird was sitting up on the perch. Nothing too small to pray about if it affects us in any way. We should give thanks for the blessings received for answered prayer, and sometimes we don't. We shouldn't be like the man that was lost in the forest. He wandered around for several days, and he was cold, and he was wet, and he was hungry, and he was tired. And he was just about to give up hope. And he decided he better pray about it. He needed help. And he prayed like this. Lord, just get me out safe and sound. And I will never bother you again. Never giving it a thought to thank him for the blessing when he was found and delivered safe and sound. We need to remember to thank God for the answered prayers, no matter what they may be about. When we go through the scriptures, we see that prayer is necessary and very needful in our lives at all times. The disciples saw this and understood when they saw and heard Jesus pray. They saw the results of the blessings that were there because of prayer. So they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And you'll find that in the first verse of the 11th chapter of Luke. One verse in there, in that one sentence in that verse says, Lord, teach us to pray. They wanted to know. In Luke, 22nd chapter, 44th verse, we probably find the most intense prayer recorded in the scriptures. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew what was ahead of him. Nevertheless, he was willing to do his Father's will. And then the next verse, we find where his prayer was heard. And his Father sent an angel to strengthen him, to give him strength to do what he knew he had to do. In the 44th verse, Luke tells us some of what he was going through. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Doctors tell us that people who are in great stress and anguish do just that. Some 27, 28 years ago, when Don and I was in Yucatan, I was told that I needed to prepare to preach that evening. Brother Placido had just come home from the hospital. He had had an appendectomy. He was laying on a cot in the back of his little house there. And at that time, the church that they have now wasn't even finished. It was just more or less a dream. So they held church in his house, which wasn't quite as big as this area right up here where I'm standing. But they had his cot in the back, and all his family and the others that showed up for church, and Don and myself, and a table besides that where I could put my books on. And I'm standing in there with my arms over the top of the rafters like this, talking to them. Little house. And I was talking about prayer. And I got to one point to where I wanted to bring out and stress the power of prayer. Don was translating for me. And I said that the power was stronger in prayer than the atomic bomb. The service come to a screeching halt right there. They didn't know what the atomic bomb was. And if they don't know what the atomic bomb is, how am I going to make a comparison between the two? Don tried to explain it to him. Young Placido, he kind of got a little bit of it. He tried to explain to him. It took a long time before I could go ahead and go on with my sermon. Nevertheless, the atomic bomb is a great power. And we all know that. But it's not as powerful as prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Powerful enough that the devil fears it. He tries continually to keep us from praying. Satan doesn't want us to pray because he knows we can gain strength that we need to resist him. I would like to read something to you that Paul Harvey said about prayer. Now, I know the older people here have heard Paul Harvey. They know Paul Harvey. The younger people probably don't. But Paul Harvey has a talk show on the radio. I think it's in Chicago. And he talks about things of the world and what have you. But he always has a little story. And he starts this part of his discourse out with this story. And he gets up to a certain point. And then, naturally, a commercial comes along. And they got to stop the story. And when he starts again, he'll go on for a little while. And then he always says, "And now for the rest of the story." And finishes the story. But he had this to say about prayer. Very interesting. He says, "Life, liberty, or your pursuit of happiness will not be endangered because someone says a 30-second prayer before a football game. So what's the big deal? It's not like someone up there was going to read the entire book of Acts. They're just talking to God that they believe in and ask him to grant the safety of the players on the field and the fans going home from the game. But what is a Christian prayer? Some will argue, but it is a Christian prayer. Excuse me. Yes, he says, and this is the United States of America, a country founded on Christian principles. According to our very own phone book, Christian churches outnumber all other churches 200-1. So what would you expect? Someone chanting Hare Krishna? If I went to a football game in Jerusalem, I would expect to hear a Jewish prayer. If I went to a soccer game in Baghdad, I would expect to hear a Muslim prayer. If I went to a ping pong match in China, I would expect to hear someone pray to Buddha. And I wouldn't be offended. It wouldn't bother me one bit. As the saying goes, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But what about the atheists is another argument. What about them? No one is asking them to be baptized. Just humor us for 30 seconds. If that's asking too much, bring a Walkman or a pair of earplugs. Visit the concession stand or call your lawyer. Unfortunately, one or two will make that call. One or two will tell thousands what they can do and what they cannot do. I don't think a short prayer at the game is going to shake the world's foundation. Christians are just sick and tired of turning the other cheek while the courts strip us of all our rights. Our parents, our grandparents taught us to pray before eating, to pray before we went to sleep. Our Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Now a handful of people and their lawyers are telling us to cease praying all together. God help us. The silent majority has been quiet too long. It's time that we let one or two who can scream loud enough to be heard. The vast majority don't care what they want. It's time that majority rules. It's time that we tell them, you don't have to pray. You don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't have to believe in God or attend his services to honor him. That is your right, and we will honor your right. But by golly, no, you are no longer going to take our rights away from us. We will win. God bless us all in one, especially those who denounce him. Bless America. Despite all her faults, she's still the greatest nation of all. God bless our servicemen and women who are fighting to protect our right to pray and worship God. Maybe this year, the silent majority will be heard, and we can put God back as our foundation of our families and our institutions. It's good to know that there's someone other than us that understands the need for prayer in our lives. I think sometimes we kind of get complacent thinking that we're the only ones out there that believe in some of the things we do. And periodically we find out, no, we're not. There are some good people out there yet. In closing, I'd like to read one last scripture. And we must remember what the scriptures tell us about prayer and the need to pray. I'm going to read this in 2 Nephi, 14th chapter. 2 Nephi, 14th chapter. I'm going to read the 11th and 12th verses. Verse 11. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth a man not to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save at first place your, that first that ye pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Back to that welfare again. That first line in that 12th verse, I'd like to repeat. Behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always. Very good advice for all of us to pay attention to. Thank you for your time.